May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. Karl Barth was one of the 20th century's most famous theologians. He was on a streetcar one day in Basel, Switzerland, where he lived and where he lectured. A tourist to the city climbed on the streetcar and sat down right next to Barth. The two men started chatting with each other. And Barth asked, "Are you new to the city?" The man said, "Well, I'm a tourist here." And so Barth asked him, "Is there anything you particularly want to see while you're here in the city?" And the man said, "Oh, yes. I'd like to meet the world-famous theologian Karl Barth." "Do you know him?" Barth replied, "Well, as a matter of fact, I do. I give him a shave every morning." The tourist got off the streetcar, quite delighted. He went back to the hotel saying to himself, "I met Karl Barth's barber." Funny, isn't it, that the tourist was in the presence of the very person he really wanted to meet, but even with the most obvious clue, and it was obvious, wasn't it? He never realized that the man with whom he was talking was the great man himself. This message is about seeing Jesus Christ, really seeing him. This message is about knowing Jesus Christ, really knowing him. So I initially want to set the scene, and then I want to ask, why don't people recognize Jesus? And then next, I want to show how Christ reveals himself to us. And finally, I want to explore the important applications of this scripture to your everyday life. The Emmaus Walk, as it's often called, takes place on Easter evening. The two men are not a part of the 11 original disciples, yet they were disciples of Jesus nevertheless. They know all about Jesus. And they're headed to this little town, which our scripture said was 7 miles from Jerusalem. Bit of a walk. And as they were walking along, Jesus came and walked with them. It says they were kept from recognizing Jesus. Now, more about that in just a moment. Jesus is now in his glorious resurrected body. What does that mean? It means he no longer grows tired. He could have walked 100 miles. He has unlimited stamina. And he isn't limited by time or space anymore. And he listens to the two men as they unfold details about himself, about Jesus. And then Jesus, after hearing them, chastises them. He chastised them for failing to believe the prophecies in which the Word of God said the Messiah would have to suffer and die and then rise again. And it's only when he breaks the bread are their eyes opened and they recognize Jesus. And they declare, "Did not our hearts burn within us while we talked on the road? And when he opened to us the scriptures," that wonderful line. Why didn't they recognize him? When on Easter morning, Mary Magdalene and the other women reported to the 11 disciples that they went to the grave of Jesus and they saw that it was empty and Jesus appeared to them. And they told the disciples about this. What was the reaction of the disciples? They said, "It's an old idle tale." In other words, they didn't really believe the women. Of course, they had to go and see for themselves. But these were the same disciples whom Jesus had pulled aside on a few occasions, more than a few, in which he said to them, "I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer there at the hands of the Gentiles. I'm going to die, my crucifixion, and I'm going to rise on the third day. Do you remember in reading the Bible? You've read that before, haven't you? Where he clearly told them what was going to happen. How did they react then? They said, no, it could never be. But Jesus repeated it several times. So they had heard it. But they didn't believe it. The old expression, seeing is believing, is completely reversed in God's world. You will never truly see until you believe. Believing is seeing. We can witness to people ad nauseum, but if they won't believe our words or the words of the Bible, they will never see or understand. Helen Keller once was asked if there was anything worse than blindness, being blind. And she answered astutely, yes, having sight, but not being able to see. You know, in many ways, we're all on a journey to Emmaus in our life, in our experiences. Maybe as a child, you went to Sunday school. How many went to Sunday school? A lot of you, right? And you learned about Jesus in a childlike way. And yes, you believed it all. How many, when you were little, believed Noah's Ark? Believed all about it, right? You did, didn't you? Right. I like this interactive. It means you're tracking with me. But you grew up. And maybe this was you, maybe not. I hope not. You began to question those Bible lessons, even doubting them. They were stories not to be taken literally. Maybe in our pride we began to think they were not so important to us anymore. Jesus was walking beside us, but we were busy pursuing other things, not really looking at him anymore, not listening to him. We had new passions. We may have, for a time, rejected Christianity entirely. Intellectually, we decided it made no sense. We veered to our own paths and left the way. Our eyes became blind and we couldn't see the single greatest truth in the whole world. In fact, we didn't see the world as it really was. You can't, outside of Jesus. You really don't know this world. I don't know, it happens today a lot, doesn't it? Kids go off to college. They hear a lot of stuff that says, this has got to be myth. This has got to be myth. We don't take this seriously. God didn't create the world. It came into being by... I like that. A little bang, a big bang, whatever. How did that happen, you know? And all these things, and you come home to your home church, perhaps, if you're still going to church with your family, and you hear the pastor and you say, oh, I don't know, I know that's not exactly right, and this is not right, and that's not right, and your eyes are clouded over with your own smarts, right? Couldn't happen. Couldn't get all those animals in the ark and all the rest of it. What does it take to see again? What does it take? Have you ever seen the movie The Sixth Sense? How many have seen the movie The Sixth Sense? So I'm not going to ruin it for you if you ever see it. Yeah, I'm going to ruin it for those of you who haven't seen it. And the main character is Bruce Willis. It's about a man who is dead but does not know it. He is wondering throughout the movie why his wife is not interacting with him. Why is she drifting away from him, right? It's hurting him and he's angry at it, but he doesn't know why. Well, near the end of the movie, he begins to hear his wife while she's sleeping and dreaming, and she's talking in her dreams, and he comes to realize that he's dead. Now, the Jesus story is a mirror image of this, only it's exactly opposite of what I mean to say. Jesus does interact with people, pursuing them, because he's alive and we're dead. And until we come to faith in him, we remain dead. We don't know we're dead until Jesus comes into our life. And then we become alive in him by faith. And my friends, until you see the truth that you need him to become alive, you will remain blind. You will remain lost in this world. That's an important truth, isn't it? So how do we come to see? How do you come to recognize Jesus? Well, for the two men on the journey, what was it that triggered them to know that it was Jesus? It was when Jesus did what? He broke the bread. It's a clear sign about the Lord's Supper, clear indication about the Lord's Supper. Because as we say today, Jesus comes to us in word and sacrament, both equally important. As the apostle wrote in Romans, faith comes from hearing the word of God. You have to believe the word. I don't know, I hope you have a Bible, I hope you read it. When you read it, do it this way. Believe what it says. Just believe what it says. You can't understand it necessarily, maybe you can't, maybe it needs a little interpreting to you, but just believe it. Believe it. That's how the Holy Spirit works. If you go in and read the Bible as they might do in college or someplace, like they read the Bible, just, you know, it's because they said they read the most important book in the world. They're just reading it for the facts. They're not believing it. Holy Spirit works through the reading of the Word, hearing of the Word of God. Have you ever heard a sermon or been in a Bible class where the Word just really gripped you and it was exciting? And you felt your heart pumping blood to your brain and to all over. And you just like, you were feeling alive because the words were meaning something to you, gripping you. You know what I'm talking about? I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do. If you don't, hang in there with me. All right? I tell you, Jesus is pursuing you through the Holy Spirit. He wants you to see him. He wants you to know him, how great his love is for you. And then he wants you to love him with a passion. Not just, oh, I love Jesus, maybe. No, with a passion. So let's come to the all-important applications to our life. Kind of been doing that already, but let's dig in some more. To really see and really believe in Jesus is not just to know the facts about him. There are theologians, there are seminary professors even, who know all the facts, who know the Greek and the Hebrew and can interpret the scriptures, but they don't really know Jesus. And they don't obey him. Paul writes in Ephesians 1:18, I pray that the eyes of your hearts may be opened. It's kind of a strange statement, isn't it? But it tells you it's not just here, it's also here, right? You believe and trust and have faith in Jesus here and here. As it says, in to really know him, it's got to be both. As it says in Philippians 3:10, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in death, and so how attain the resurrection from the dead. Becoming like him. In other words, obeying him. Being committed to him. Being passionate about him. You really can't be a believer and believe that he saved you by the blood of the cross and then decide not to obey him. Jesus said, Who are my disciples? Those who hear the word of God and put it into practice. Put it into practice. You see, believing in Jesus, seeing him and knowing him, is not just believing certain propositions. A true Christian is a right brain and left brain follower. Yes, we hold on to the doctrine, but yes, we also passionately love him, obey him, and want him to guide our life. You know, we can relate to Jesus because he's alive. Pity the poor Muslims. Can they relate to Muhammad? No, because he's dead. And pity the poor Buddhists. Can they relate to Buddha? No, because he's dead. But we can relate to Jesus. We can listen to him. We can talk to him. We can hear him. We can pray to him. We can make decisions seeking his will, and he'll guide us in his will for our life. I hope you truly want to see Jesus and to know him, to have a passion for him. So let me give you a kindly exhortation, which is another fancy word for saying an encouragement, strongly given. Keep coming to worship services. Try to get a good night's sleep beforehand. Don't drink too much water before you come into the service, because you'll be thinking about other things. Get involved in a Bible study. Pray regularly. Read the Bible. Diligently receive the Lord's Supper. If you haven't been baptized, get baptized. You only need one. But if you haven't done it, you need to do it. And I will tell you what happened if you do those things. The Lord Jesus, who even now is pursuing you, will become more and more and more recognizable to you. You'll begin to see him everywhere. And yes, he will speak to you in the various ways he does. It may not be audibly, but to say that he doesn't speak, that would be wrong, false. He does speak. And he will. His will for your life will become clear to you. By submitting to him, your decisions will be better and you will honor him. You will come to realizations, for instance, that your money is not yours. He gave it to you. Let him make some decisions how to share it and what to use it for. Your time, your strength, not yours. He gave it to you. Use it for him. Let him become the master of your life. And by the way, you will treat others as Jesus treated people. You will have a passion for what Jesus had a passion for. Imagine if we treated people the way Jesus treated people, how we would touch people's lives. It would be immensely impactful on our community, our neighborhood, everywhere. I'll tell you one thing we would do. We would love children. Jesus loved children. They tried to shy him away from him, and he wouldn't have it, right? So if children are irritant, get off my lawn. Maybe there'd be another way to deal with that. And their eyes were open, and they recognized him. And they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while we talked to him on the road and while he opened to us the scriptures? O Father, O Jesus, O Holy Spirit, open my eyes too. Open my eyes. We want to see you, Lord Jesus. We want to know you. We are alive in you, and we want to be your followers. In Jesus' name, to his glory. Amen.